cling to the cross of Christ. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. And at this time, the children are dismissed up to sixth grade. Kindergarten through sixth graders are dismissed for Children's Church with Mrs. Nagel. And for everyone else, I would invite you to open a Bible, or if you have a phone app or Bible app of some sort, to the book of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 35 is where we will look. We've been talking about what the kingdom is like. Matthew 13, Jesus tells a number of parables of what the kingdom is like and allowing the kingdom of God to come, his rule and reign. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower and that allowing the kingdom to come and the reign of the kingdom to come in our lives happens first with a heart that is receptive to the word of God, a fertile heart that is able to receive the word so that fruit is able to be born. Last week, we talked about in the midst of the kingdom having come and Jesus having come, there is this reality still of evil and the presence of evil and suffering and wrong still in the world. And how do we wrestle with that tension of the kingdom coming with all the goodness of God, but yet the presence of evil still at work? And Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and that one day all will be made right, that right now is not the time. Right now is not the time when evil will be rid from the world, because if we were to, Jesus said, pull up the weeds around the wheat, it would also pull up the wheat. And so there is a harvest time coming. Until then, be patient, hold on, take courage, and stay close to the Lord. Today we want to talk about change and allowing the Lord to bring kingdom change in our lives and through our lives. This parable on the mustard seed and the yeast, Jesus tells to talk about what change looks like in the kingdom of God. So I invite you to follow along, verses 31 through 35, Matthew chapter 13. It says, he, Jesus, told them, the crowds, another parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, they're synonymous, is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter these things hidden since the creation of the world. So as we would look into these two parables this morning, let's ask the Lord by his Spirit to give us wisdom. Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus. We thank you that for something that was so hideous and so scorned by men, cursed as it is, that Jesus there brought the greatest victory, brought the restoration of relationship made possible between God and man, that by his stripes, by his work on the cross, we have salvation, we are healed. And so, Father, we ask in response to what you have done, Jesus, that you would increase our faith. Father, we would ask too that many would come to know that message that Jesus saves. Father, this morning as we look to your word and about the change that comes in your kingdom, we pray your wisdom. We pray you'd help us to see change in the way you work from your perspective, and that you would so change us in the process and use us to bring your kingdom change to this earth. So Holy Spirit, you're the one who leads us into truth. Would you lead us to that place? In Jesus' name, amen. A number of weeks ago, we talked about the vision that the Lord has given to us as a church family, and it's been received very positively, and we're beginning to take steps to move forward in that, that the Dorseyville Alliance Church would be a place where the presence of Christ brings life, healing, and restoration, where lives would be taught and people would be taught how to encounter the life-changing presence of Jesus through salvation and how to walk with him to be changed and transformed, where people would be equipped and then sent to take his presence to the world that is so very much in need. And I'm so thankful for the way the Lord has worked in the midst of bringing understanding and just bringing some unity around that vision and some of the steps that we've talked about. But as I've talked to different people, there's been several phrases that have stood out, and two of them I really want to share because they've been common. And the first is this: boy, this is a huge God-sized vision. And it is way bigger than we can accomplish. And oftentimes, when things are way bigger than we can accomplish, that means God's in the midst of it, because if it's about what we can accomplish, who gets the glory? We do. But when it's way bigger than any group of people can accomplish, and God does it, who gets the glory? God does. And so when God does, and God moves, and he brings his kingdom to earth and change to earth, it is often in ways that are huge and gigantic, and God's visions are big visions. And so in that way, that's an encouraging thing, isn't it? It's an overwhelming thing, but it's an encouraging thing, that God's ways are huge. It's one thing, one common response that I've heard from people. The second common response that I've heard from people is this: I really wish, and it's some form of this, I really wish I could be a part of it, the carrying out of this vision, but I am either too old, don't have enough energy, don't have enough ability, don't have enough time to participate. And in many ways, those are all realities. Oftentimes, when we think of kingdom change and engaging in the vision of what God wants to do on the earth, of his kingdom coming and his work being done, we think big and grandiose, because God is a big and grandiose God. And we believe often that if I cannot engage in big and grandiose ways, if my capacity, whether it be in time or in energy, or my age is not youthful with all kinds of gifts and abilities and all these things, or I don't have pockets full of money to be able to finance these big moves of God, well, then I probably don't have a role. Now listen, the ways of God bring about big kingdom change actions and results. But the ways that he gets there is not as our culture says of go big or go home, and you either offer big or you don't have anything to offer at all. It is in the small, often seemingly unseen, sometimes ways that we think are just common, ordinary, or even insignificant, that God does the greatest work. The results are huge, but the ways to get there are usually really, really small. The ways of God are all about the small things and being faithful in the small things. So this morning, as we look through, we want to talk and answer two questions and come to the realization that you and I were just called to do the small things, trusting God for the big result. Do the small things. So two questions, sermon notes in your bulletin. And this Sunday, after having several weeks where our technology wasn't working so great, we, thanks to those using their gifts in these ways, have helped us to get back online here. So the small things, two questions we want to answer. The first question is, how does kingdom change come? How does kingdom change come? Two ways. The first, in small ways at first. Kingdom change comes in small ways at first. The parable of the mustard seed, verses 31 to 32, told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The mustard seed, Jesus says, is the smallest, or one of the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Now, here is a picture of a mustard seed. I would love to have one here, but I'd probably have to go person by person so that you could see. This is just an average adult human being's hand. And that is a mustard seed in comparison to a human palm of a hand. Teeny, isn't it? Now, Jesus says, out of this, one of the smallest seeds known on planet Earth, this comes about. This is a mustard tree, a mustard plant, which is the largest of all garden plants. You see the perspective there? That is an everyday normal human being, his size. And so from this comes this. So big, in fact, that the birds of the air will come and will perch in it on its branches. It becomes a refuge in the Middle East and dry, arid, desert-like regions. It becomes a place of shade for birds to come in, perch inside, find relief from the heat of the day. Incredible. Out of a small seed comes this gigantic tree, the mustard plant. Even the birds of the air are able to come and perch with it. See, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, usually does not come with large, powerful, big demonstrations. It sometimes does, but that is not often and usually the norm. The norm is that the kingdom of God comes in small, everyday, faithful ways of living out relationship with God and being used by Him in the small, everyday ways. Sometimes God will do the big things, but that's not the norm. The norm is He comes and He leads us and He works in us in the small ways. Think about Jesus. Jesus did not come in a large, powerful way, did He? He came born in a stable, in a manger, to a virgin, to in a place of poverty, an ordinary Jewish boy who grew up to become a homeless rabbi who ultimately died on a cross. Does that sound big? And anytime Jesus was at work and the crowds began to gather, He usually said something really, really crazy, hard to follow, and everybody left. Jesus was not about the big. He was about the small. Because in the small ways, the kingdom comes. See, the kingdom is all about starting small and allowing it to grow huge. It always has been. And it always will be. The work gets big, but it starts small. How does kingdom change come? It comes in small ways first and grows to something huge. Second parable, He says, how does kingdom change come? It comes in unseen ways at first. In verse 35, it says, He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The parable of yeast is about a little yeast, though hidden in the flour, working its way throughout the whole batch of dough, so that, though you cannot see it at work, all of a sudden, in the small ways, over time, in the unseen working in the midst of the dough, the yeast fermenting, the dough begins to rise, and what comes is a loaf of bread. It is unseen. You don't see with your eyes the chemical reactions that are taking place in the midst of all that's being done. But what comes is from this small amount of flour, small amount of water, small amount of oil, and a small amount of yeast, this unseen chemical reaction takes place that turns into something big. The kingdom of God, often we don't see it at work until the result comes at the end. The kingdom ways are often unseen ways. Because the kingdom ways comes to human hearts. And oftentimes we don't see what is going on in a human heart. Have you ever felt like someone you were praying for or someone that you love, you began to share the good news of the gospel and you're just thinking, nothing is happening. Have you ever been there? Nothing is happening. We talk about it. We share it. I pray for them. And it doesn't seem like anything ever happens. And you want to throw in the towel and give up. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they start to ask questions and they start to talk and they start to share. Hey, you know what? God, I think, has been doing something in my life. And all those things you've been talking about, I'm starting to see it. And you go, well, how did we go from here of nothing to now there's something going on? Because the Word of God, because the work of God in human hearts is an unseen work. We usually don't get to see what's going on until it has started to bear fruit in lives. And there's a lot of work that goes on in a human heart before you usually get to see the fruit outwardly. Because the work of God is usually unseen until the results come. Friends, the kingdom of God is such that it comes, kingdom change comes in small ways at first and in unseen ways. But what comes about are loaves of bread and gigantic mustard plants. So much so that the birds of the air and those mustard plants come and perch. God, his ways are usually not big at first. His ways are small. And for all of us, that should be encouragement that no matter what we have to give, we have a role to play because God works in the small things. The kingdom change comes first in small ways, then in unseen ways, bringing about great change. Second question to answer is, so what do you and I, what do we need to do in the midst of this? What's the application for us? This is the way God works. What do we need to do in response? Well, first, we need to experience kingdom change personally. Experience kingdom change personally. When we in our lives, when we need change, we usually try significant, visible, drastic approaches first. For instance, if you have a terrible health issue, what do? You take a drastic step and you go to the doctor or you go to the emergency room or you do something to address it physically first. If you have, it's January 1st and you're saying, I want to lose weight, what is the first thing you do? You say, I'm going to get on a drastic diet, I'm going to go and exercise, I'm going to do all these things. There's all of these drastic steps that are visible, that are action related that we take. It's not a bad thing, but it's usually this is the way we handle it. If you have financial problems, what do? You go to a class on finances. You take a financial management class. Maybe you go and you pick up a second job. Is that a bad thing? No. But it's looking to deal with it on a outward way. If it's people, and we found out news this week that good friends of ours, their son, and we knew him well, died of a drug overdose. It's just another reality of the drug problem that we have in our country and in our area. And in the midst of all of that, those who are dealing with drug addiction, what do you tell them to do? Go to detox, go to rehab, go for the big step. Is that a bad thing? Is that a wrong step to take? Absolutely not. It's a necessary good step. But it's how we do these things. It's big. If you have marital problems, what do? You go to a pastor, or you go to a counselor, you go and you walk through some very hard things of we got to find somebody who will help fix the problem that we have. We take these outward steps to be able to bring about change. All of these are good. But is it the way that kingdom change comes first? If kingdom change comes in small and unseen ways, will we always get the kingdom change results if we try to deal with the outward symptom without dealing with the inward symptom? I have found over and over and over that what we often try to do is deal with the outward problem without first dealing with the inward problem. Brothers and sisters, God changes us from the inside out. The inside out, not the outside in. So often we want to deal with the symptom, and God says, let's deal with the cause, the root issue. Let's deal with what is your ailment inside in your soul. What's sick in you so that change can come on the inside in what may seem like small ways, what may seem like unseen ways, so that it will grow and develop and there will be big change that will come in your life as a result. What are some ways? I want to walk through four ways to allow the change of God to come from the inside out. Kingdom change. The first is faith or trust in an unseen God. So often, we fly right by this step. But the question is, do we trust and do we believe in the God of the Bible, in Jesus, his Son, and in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Do we trust in him? Do we throw all of our hope? Do we say, if God doesn't come through, I have no hope? In Hebrews chapter 11, when the writer talks about faith, he says, anyone who wants to seek God must believe that he exists even though they do not see him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, it starts first with faith and a trust in a God that we cannot see. And for many people, that is a huge hurdle that keeps us stuck in a place without change. For many people, that is what keeps them from placing their faith and trust in Christ. I got to see it. I got to experience it. I got to know all the facts. I got to be able to see it all. There are just some things that you have to take by faith and trust in an unseen God for change the way of the kingdom to be experienced in our lives. And no matter what we do, I can't give you a magic pill that's going to make that all better. And no one will. But can I encourage you just to say, Lord, if that's where you're at, Lord, I'm having trouble believing. I'm having trouble trusting you. Lord, would you begin to give me faith? Would you begin to help me to trust, even though my eyes can't see it? Even though it's hard for me to believe? If that's where you're at, pray that prayer. Make it a lifestyle prayer. Lord, help me to trust. Help me to believe, even though I cannot see. Because it's in the small and the unseen ways that kingdom change comes. Begin in the small way of asking, Lord, help me to trust you, even though I do not see you. A second way to allow change to come from the inside out is to practice death to self. Now, many times when I talk about this, I want to stress, this is not talking about suicide. Sometimes when people hear death to self, they think this is really crazy, and that just seems wrong. Why would anyone want you to die to yourself? This is simply saying, my will is not what is done, but God, I want your will to be what is done. I don't want to have my way, God. I want your way. And I choose to say, I surrender. I'm not in charge anymore. Lord Jesus, you are in charge. It is when we come to a place of basically giving up and giving ourselves into the hands of God that we begin to see the change. As we trust him and surrender ourselves to him, that we begin to see the change of God in our lives. For change comes from the inside out. When that happens, A.B. Simpson says this, that when we come to that place, we say, Lord, I don't want to be in charge anymore. I want you to. A.B. Simpson said this, that God will so fill us, if we will let him, that's the big if. God will so fill us, if we will let him, that self and everything else will be taken out of the way. The glory of the Lord will fill the temple, our bodies, he's speaking of, will fill our lives, the glory, the weighty presence of the Lord, encompassing, lifting, guiding, keeping. See, it's not about trying so hard that I got to bring the change that I need to see in my life. It's about basically saying, Lord, I trust you even though I don't see you. And Lord, would you fill me up so there's nothing left of me? Would you push all the stuff out that's keeping me stuck where I'm at? And would you, as you come and fill me up, would you bring the change that I need in my life, the kingdom change? Brothers and sisters, I can tell you that that does not happen fast. And it happens usually in day by day decisions of saying, Lord, I need this. I need this. I'm hungry for it. I'm desperate for it. If you don't fill me up, if you don't live your life through me, I will have no other hope. Third way to see it, this inside-out change, is a practical step of saying, Lord, I want to be with you, and I want to practice what are called spiritual disciplines of coming to the Word of God to read and to meditate on it, to allow the truth of God's Word to slowly fill us and change us and recreate us from the inside out. Of coming to times where we pray. This sounds like churchy answers, doesn't it? Reading the Bible and praying. I grew up in church, and whenever we had a Sunday school teacher or a youth group lesson, and someone said, what are we supposed to do? And nobody knew the answer, someone would always kind of sarcastically say, read the Bible and pray. It was like this church kid answer to every question. And the answer was never wrong, because reading the Bible and praying is never a wrong answer. But it turned into this just kind of, well, you read the Bible and you pray. And you know what I did for a long time? I read the Bible and I prayed, but it was never to be changed. It was to check off a box and to say, I read the Bible and I prayed today. When I'm talking about reading the Bible and praying, I'm talking about reading it and letting it soak in and letting the Lord use it to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind. Of coming to a place of prayer, of saying, I'm not just coming, God, to give you my list of all the things that I need you to do and all the problems that I have and all the people. Those things are not bad. But prayer first is about saying, Lord, what do you want to say? Lord, I want to come and I want to hear from you, because you're the one I need to hear, not me first giving everything I need to say to you. So listening, of having times of silence, of having times alone with God. Scripture, listening, prayer, silence, solitude. When we say, Lord, I want you to fill me up, these are often pathways that the Lord will use to fill us up. And I can tell you the greatest times of kingdom change in my life have not come in 5-minute sit-down devotional and prayer times. It's come from months and months and months of regularly being with the Lord and sitting with Him and allowing His Word to change and to transform, allowing Him to speak in quiet and in solitude. That's when He has changed me, and He has changed me from the inside out. If we want to see kingdom change, we want to see it in our lives, there is no substitute for the slow, small, unseen practices that will lead to life change. I met with an individual this week, and they were saying, I need to see change in my life. They know they need God to move and to work in a powerful way. And as we sat together and we talked about the Word of God, we spent time praying and just saying, Lord Jesus, what do you want to say? What do you want us to do? For the longest time, we just sat there, and there was nothing but being in the presence of the Lord. And God simply said, Jesus said to this person, just be with me. Oftentimes we want to go, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, just be with me. Spend time with me. Because it's in the presence of the Lord, in time with Him, that He changes us. And usually nobody sees you. And usually it seems like small, insignificant time. But it is in those slow, small, unseen times with the Lord that He changes you from the inside out. And the last thing, first, trust in an unseen God. Practice death to self so He fills us. Practice those spiritual disciplines. And lastly, live in the light with others. What I mean by living in the light with others is live a confessional life with another brother or sister in Christ. It has not been, I have not seen change and victory in my life in areas of struggle until I confessed it to another human being. I know there are people who just say, that's wrong, you can't do that. That's not supposed to be the way it is. Scripture is filled with confess your sins one to another. And if we do not have someone where we can look them eyeball to eyeball and say, this is where I need help. This is where I am struggling. These are the sins that I have committed. We will stay stuck. I wish you could just like pass over this one and be good and see kingdom change in your life, but it's not the way God built us, because he built us to live in community with one another. It's not just me and God and no one else. It's me and God and everyone else. And we need someone to sit knee to knee with and to be able to open our hearts and our lives and say, this is really where I'm at. Hardly anybody knows this stuff around about me, but I need you to know this about me, because I need to bring it out of the darkness where it's just me and God knowing it, and I need to confess it to you. And the reason is, it's because the thing that God cannot stand is pride. A prideful heart cannot draw near to the Lord. And if pride so fills your heart that you cannot confess your sins and your struggles to another human being, you cannot draw near to the Lord the way we need to be changed. If we cannot be humble enough to share our stuff with others, we cannot be humble enough to draw near to him. Friends, it's a hard step. I'm not saying it's an easy one for years and years and years. That reality of holding and not wanting to confess with others kept me in bondage. But it wasn't until I confessed to another person that bondage was broken. Friends, if you want to see change, if you want to see kingdom change, trust the unseen, our unseen God. Practice death to self so he fills you. Spend time on those spiritual disciplines that seem like nothing's happening, and confess one to another your stuff. Live in the light with each other. It's the pathways that God has created so that we might see kingdom change in us. Why do I talk so much about first experience kingdom change personally? Why? It's because if you have not experienced it, you cannot give it. If you have not experienced kingdom change in your life, you have nothing to give. You have to first be changed to be used to be changed for the kingdom. We can't skip the step. Most people want to just do great things for God. God says, let me do great things in you first. And when I've done great things in you, then I can use you to do great things for me. Moses spent 40 years in the desert with God being changed before he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Think about that. Spent 40 years in the desert with God. The Apostle Paul spent 17 years in relationship with God before he ever went on his first missionary journey. God has to change us first before he can use us to bring change to the world. Experience kingdom change personally so that we can be used to bring kingdom change around us. I think we would all agree that there is a world that is in desperate need for the change that only God can bring. Amen? Amen. For the hope, for the freedom, for salvation, for healing, for life, for restoration that only God can bring. There is a world that's desperate for it. And he wants to use us to be able to do that. Two common struggles that often we are plagued with. And one is to say, if it's not a huge thing, then I don't want to be a part of it. Give me something big to do for you, God. And if God gives you small things, well, God, give me this, forget the small things. I want to do the big thing for you. My youth pastor, I may have told you this story, but my youth pastor in high school was a youth pastor at a large church with a youth group of like 75 to 100 kids. And you know what he would do from time to time? He would go to the custodian of the church and say, I'm going to clean the toilets this week. And I heard about that, and I said, why in the world are you doing that? He said, because I have to remember that in order to be able to be entrusted with large things, you have to be able to also be willing to do small things. So sometimes we just want to do the big thing. God, give me the big thing. And if it's not a big thing, well, I don't have time for that because God's got big things for me. It's usually we have to prove ourselves in the small things before we get the big things. The second common struggle that we have is the one that I started with. I can't do it. I'm not qualified to do it. I don't have enough time or enough energy to do it. You may feel the task is too big, that even small tasks may seem like too big of tasks. For both of these, the answer is the same. In being used to bring kingdom change, you start right where you are at. Even if it seems like it's in an unseen or small thing, join God no matter how small it is. Because it's often in the small things that God will bring the biggest change. Remember, the mustard seed and the yeast. It's often in the smallest and unseen things that God will bring the greatest change. It may be in the midst of a busy day of stopping to talk to a person that's in need. It may be visiting a person who's shut in, or giving someone who can't get out for church a ride. It may be when somebody pops on into your mind of stopping for a moment and saying, Lord, is that just a random reason that that person popped into my mind, or is there something, should I reach out to them? And normally, when that person randomly pops into your mind, it's a good thing just to stop what you're doing and pick up the phone or stop and write a note and say, you're on my mind. Is everything okay? It's helping the neighbor. It's taking someone out for coffee just to listen. It's looking for the troubled or the lonely around you. It's looking at the teenagers or the children in our lives and not seeing them as off to the side, but welcoming them in and investing our lives in them. It's looking at the unlovely, the hard to love, the wounded, the hurting, the homeless, the immigrant, the refugee, those that our culture says are the excluded, and meeting them where they're at. It's the small things, like spending quality time with your family, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, and giving them your undivided attention. Oftentimes, that's what I recognize that I need to do on the small things is not focus on the phone for a few minutes of the email or text and just be able to give your family undivided attention. It's the small things. It's the things that life is running 100 miles an hour or there's so many things that we could be doing of focusing right where we're at with who we're at. See, often for kingdom change to come, as it's come to us to be able to give it to others and be used of God to bring the kingdom to earth and the kingdom's impact to others around us, it's often not about the big stuff. And it often doesn't take much, but God will use it and will grow it into something gigantic if we will just do our small part. So imagine that you could change the world. Can you get your mind around that for a minute? And all God asked for you to do is to liquidate all of your funds, sell all your possessions, get it in cash form, and give it. That would all it would take. It may be that you have $5,000. It may be that you have $5 million or somewhere in between. But you liquidate it all, and God says, all you have, just sell it, give it, and that will change the world. That'd be pretty easy if you get past you have to sell all your stuff. But then the Lord says this. Don't just give it all at once in a lump sum fashion. Exchange it for quarters. And 25 cents or 50 cents at a time, give. Small, give when no one's looking, and slowly, slowly, one opportunity, one person, one situation at a time, bring the change of the kingdom. See, the Lord isn't asking us to give something huge. He's asking us to be faithful in giving over and over and over and over and over again. Trusting that the small deposits into life and into our culture, into our circumstances around us, into our family, into our marriages, into our grandchildren, into our church, into our community, over and over, that investing over and over and over and over and standing at the end of the day and going, am I doing anything that's changing anything, Lord? And he's saying, just do it small. Just keep giving it. Just keep giving it. Just keep giving it. And trust me, at the end, there's going to be something huge. Because the way of the kingdom usually is not huge at first. It's in small and in unseen ways. In closing, I wanted to show a video with a song. You, if you listen to K-Love, you may have heard it. It's by Josh Wilson, and it's called Dream Small. And he says in the song that if God has a big dream for you, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. But he gives the focus in the lyrics about it just being small deposits, small things, being faithful over and over and over, and watch what God will do. I invite you to watch us as we would close this morning.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. Special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things. No, 'cause these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got to do it all. Let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. So dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. Add up the small things and watch them grow bigger. The God who does all things makes oceans from rivers. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Yeah, find lows and
Dream small. Dream small.
So it's the small things. It's being faithful in the small things. In the big dreams, still dream them. But don't miss the minutes along the way. You know, Billy Graham was said to have prayed that he would be the last of the great evangelists, of the mass evangelists. Because he said, what the church needs is not for one person to be the spokesman, but for the spirit that rested on him, the anointing that rested on him, to be carried by everyone. Amen. And for everyone to be Billy Graham, where they are. I'm not saying that anything he did was ever wrong, but just the world today needs everyone who are followers of Jesus to be his presence right where they're at. And as we are faithful in the small things, the kingdom will come in large ways. Through the small and the unseen, great things for the glory of Jesus and his kingdom will come. Amen? Amen. No matter where you're at, no matter what you have to offer, we all have a role. Let's be faithful where we're at. Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for the change that you have opportunity and that you desire to bring in us. Would you change us? Would you change me in continual ways? So that we might be used of you to bring your kingdom, to bring the change of heaven to this earth in greater ways. For the glory of your name, pray your blessing on each of my friends here today. May you use us to be your ambassadors right where we're at. And may you use us as a church family. May you use your church here on this earth to bring your kingdom in greater ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand where you're at and receive the benediction this morning and the blessing this morning as we would close. So may you be changed more and more into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And may out of the change that he brings in you, may he use you and empower you right where you're at to bring the kingdom here in small and unseen ways that will come in large ways. May he empower you, may he encourage you, may he strengthen you, and may he use you to be his presence here on this earth. Go in his peace, go in his power, and go in his authority. Amen.